May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Last week began a series of Old Testament readings on the history of the Kingdom of Israel. We heard how Israel demanded a king, like the other peoples around, especially the Philistines, to lead them into battle. The boy Samuel, who heard God call his name in the night, is now the head prophet in the country. He warns the people against kingship of any kind, with its demands and consequences. That God has compassion on the people. He has Samuel choose Saul by lot. And Saul says, "I am only a Benjaminite from the least of the tribes of Israel, and my family is the humblest of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then?" This is God's way, from humility to kingship, a divine choice. Does that make you think of Jesus? Born in a stable, raised to God's right hand, and who said, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Saul is to obey the prophetic words of God as spoken by Samuel. As a king, he is very successful, but on two occasions, not just one, he disobeys God's instructions, and Samuel has to tell Saul, "The Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. God was sorry he had made him king." So we come to today's portion in the two books called Samuel. Samuel is grieving over Saul, and he is frightened of revenge from him. But God directs him to God's next choice for king. He's sent to the family of Jesse of Bethlehem. We do not know if God had Samuel choose by lot this time, but it is possible. There were two small objects called Urim and Thummim for deciding God's answer to a question put to him that could give a yes or a no answer. A priest was usually in charge of them and kept them in a small pocket on his breast. Jiggling them and drawing one out was one way of divining the answer, or casting them on the ground. They were maybe made of metal or precious stones. To me, our two-up game would do. Heads anoint this head, tails he goes off with the tail between his legs. Seriously though, the Bible mentions their use from Joshua and throughout the reign of David. Seven is the best number, and seven sons are passed over. With the first son, who is tall, God says to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature. For the Lord does not see as mortals see, but the Lord looks on the heart. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." But it seems like God does like a good looker, for Saul was very tall and impressive, and David was handsome with beautiful eyes. When Saul was chosen, he was hiding. Now when David is considered, the shepherd boy is not there either. Again, it is God's choice. The youngest becomes their greatest king. We can assume that Jesus knew this history and stories. So why do the two accounts have similar features? And these are not the only accounts of Samuel anointing them, if you read a few chapters there. Just think, would each of Jesse's seven other sons give an identical account of that day? Any policeman would probably say no. Family stories become oral history. To its credit, Israel was particularly good at recalling and recording its history. At that time, there were lots of prophets, official ones, even bands of ecstatic prophets and false prophets. Scholars detect some reworking by prophets from their viewpoint of this material. So some parts may be really early accounts from one part that is kept in the memory of one part of the country, and then mixed with a version from another part of the country, and then all put together much later. This does not deny God's inspiration. The same process can be seen in next week's story of David and Goliath. The Old Testament is very human, like us with God. I'm not saying much about the second reading from Paul's letter to Corinth, except that the words "walk by faith, not sight" connects with what Samuel did in not choosing the tall elder brothers. So I want to turn to the gospel parables of the growing seed and the mustard seed. Seeds are in. A while ago, one of the supermarkets was giving out little pots with dried seeds in them. And just this week, attached to a fly in my letterbox from an estate agent, was this packet of seeds, of lettuce seeds. Jesus uses parables, surprising little stories, not of Israel's kingdom, but of the kingdom of God, where God reigns. It's not like other kingdoms of power and of privilege or poverty. He knew that Simon the Zealot and others like him wanted God to bring in a kingdom that would defeat the Roman oppressors, and they wanted it soon. Perhaps the growing seed was a call for patience to them, to wait. People didn't know how a plant grew from seed in those days, as we do. They did know the right day to harvest the grain, though. Growth is God's miracle, and God's kingdom is God's miracle. The mustard seed grows into a large shrub, and I'm sure there must be one in the biblical garden at the Australian Centre for Christianity and Culture. The seed is small. Jesus' band is small and poor. It's the contrast between this ordinary seed and a great shrub which matters. It has a greater purpose even than of producing more seed. It can provide a sheltering place for birds to nest and produce more birds. A.M. Hunter says rabbis sometimes referred to Gentiles as birds of the air. That is a very inclusive image for us. The kingdom of God is for outsiders, needy, homeless, all. I find that exciting and encouraging for our programs here. God's generosity leads to a disproportionate outcome. Jesus may have used this image because it was known from the writings of the prophets Daniel and Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 17, God takes a sprig off the top of a tall cedar tree and, to quote, "On the mountain height of Israel I will plant it in order that it may produce boughs and bear fruit and become a noble cedar. Under it every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest winged creatures of every kind." And he continues with this contrast. "I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree." Daniel has the same image of birds nesting. Does it not also signify the kingdom of God? We share in its coming into being in our lives. How like Jesus' words, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." To conclude, new teaching can be inspired by old stories and circumstances. But we are to walk forward by faith, listening to God and expecting future outcomes of God's reign in this parish.